2020.
So moved, Madam Chair.
John Coleman.
Seconded by Chip. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
And the motion carries. There is some correspondence in your, let's see the minutes, we got through the minutes. Next we'll talk to let file, oh, the correspondence in the packet is the letter of resignation or retirement from Lyle after his 17 years and 5 months tenure with the organization. Certainly, we all want to wish him the best in his retirement, but we're not going to let him go until we have someone to fill his shoes. So he's agreed to stay on in a consultant format, and we're very thankful that he's continued to advocate for and keep Prague's best interest at the forefront. So thank you, Lyle, very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity to work on this. And there are actually quite a few loose ends, as you might imagine. Boston Rail, EDA, ARPA, there's a lot of things we don't want to drop a ball for a few months. We want to keep going.
You know, it's like, unfortunately, there you just said the right thing. There is a lot of going on. And having someone come in and be able to acclimate themselves is really going to be the challenge here. So,
and you don't want a six-month gap where the ball gets dropped either.
So. Yeah. So at this time, I think, why don't you go over any correspondence you have, Lyle, or things you want to share, and then we'll go back to, after you're finished, we'll go back to John to give a little update. Oh, wait a minute, that's an action item. All right, so go ahead, Lyle, you're on deck. Is there anything else you want to share?
No, I, you know, provided a monthly report, and I just want to open up for questions. If there are any questions, otherwise we can move on to the next item on the agenda.
Okay. So, the next is, Peter is going to do a presentation on the Solid Waste Subcommittee update. Peter?
Yep, great. Hello, everyone. Hope your summer's going well. This is going to be a very brief overview of the Municipal Services Committee's task team work to date, and really wanted to get the Executive Committee up to date where we are, and maybe start a conversation on potential roles that CROG may consider in this really statewide issue, not just regional issue. So as we all know, cost and uncertainty are two of our, I guess, least friends in local government, and particularly when it comes to the handling of our solid waste. Hold on a second, I'm going to turn my radio down here. I don't know what the police department's doing. I don't know why they're talking at noontime. So really, you know, with the mayor going out of business in terms of waste energy in June 2022, the issue of transfer and disposal of solid waste on a regional basis is significant. There's over roughly a half million tons of waste that go through the Meadows plant. And so a subgroup of Municipal Services Committee and the Central Connecticut Solid Waste Authority have met two or three times over the course of the spring and into the summer. And really, it's very clear to us that there's some potentially competing interest here, but also there's a need for short-term, a mid-range, and long-term approach. And DEP's current recycling, focus on recycling and waste reduction and product stewardship just isn't going to be enough to handle, you know, upwards to a half million tons of trash annually. So how the basic question is, how do we get DEP and other state officials elected and appointed to bring them or bring the region's concerns and heighten their awareness, and not that they're not aware of it, but how the heck do we get them to move in a direction that will provide some certainty relative to cost and disposal location for our waste, both short term and longer term. And so we know we're, the board's going through a transition with the local elections in terms of leadership over the course of the next 60 to 90 days. But we wanted to start the conversation with the executive board and potentially with the policy board in the next September, October timeframe. We think that Lyle and Pauline and I have also had conversations about how the heck we might be able to get the strategize and how to get political leadership on board with this significant issue. Right now, some of the mechanics that we've done is staff has provided or sent out a survey to all CROG towns to try to get a handle on what we're thinking in terms of what approach we'd go. Some of us have already gone out with RFPs for transportation and disposal. Others, like Windsor, are kind of waiting to see what MIRA comes up with, as they have several RFPs on the street that will be due in September, October timeframe. And that may give a little bit of a glimpse of what the short-term future may hold. And so we'll get that response to the surveys here in the next several weeks compiled, give us a little bit of glimpse there. So that's kind of where we are. And so I wasn't going to go through the whole PowerPoint slideshow that you have. You guys can do that at your own leisure. But really wanted to open it up to see what initial thoughts committee members had or executive board members had, and how we might approach it with the policy board either September. I'm suggesting September, even though we don't have a lot of information, but just because, you know, June 22 is going to be here and we have to do a lot of, municipalities going to do a lot of planning in the next 9 to 10 months. So I'll stop there, Mayor.
Has there been any discussion with DEEP? I know with the infrastructure money and maybe some money coming into the state that there would be some funding put towards the creation of a new, more modernized facility.
There has the Mike Bisher from Glastonbury has had conversations with the DEP deputy commissioner, pretty far reaching conversation around this topic. I don't believe Mike got specifically into conversation about state devoting any of the federal funds towards a longer term solution. The conversation really was around trying to understand the issue of potentially a transfer station being operated in the short term, meaning 1 to 5 years or so out of the Meadows as a regional transfer station.
Luke, have you been part of the conversation with Peter Sousa? I know because earlier on our meeting earlier with Mira, Luke had, you know, since it is in Hartford, he did have some kind of ideas shaped around. I just want to make sure that his comments and thoughts are incorporated into this.
Yeah. So I see Randall online.
I'm here as well, Peter.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Mayor. So, I mean, I do have some strong feelings about this, which Marcia heard me express earlier on the MIRA board meeting. And I have been involved, like a number of you, in these conversations for quite a while. I'll just hit a couple of highlights and then happy to dig in on any of them if you'd like. But we have long said that, you know, we are willing to consider hosting sort of a next generation technology in Hartford, as we have for the last half a century. We would like to have, if we are going to have new technology and new facility, however, we'd like it to be co-located with the massive sewage treatment plant that also occupies a part of the South Meadows, so that we're consolidating the noxious uses and not taking up the entirety of 1,000 acres along the riverfront at the intersection of two major highways. So we're very willing to be a collaborative part of that. I'm very unwilling to let this become a transfer station for the long term, where it's simply a place where trash is getting trucked in and then loaded onto trains or trucked out. And I will oppose vigorously, any efforts to amend the permit so that it can be a transfer station for the long term. I fully recognize that there needs to be an interim solution, and that, you know, that area may need to be part of that interim solution for a few years. But until and unless, I see some convincing demonstration that the state is serious about what comes next and helping to put us on a path to whatever comes next, I will be vigorously opposing, any efforts to just turn it into a transfer station, because I'm very, very worried about that just, becoming the long-term play. I think that it would be unfortunate from a public policy standpoint, from an environmental standpoint, for us to shift to out-of-state transfer as the solution to our trash. That said, it's pretty clear looking around the country, looking around the world, that you don't get an alternative to that in the absence of fairly significant public subsidy. And I think that thus far the state has not been willing to seriously entertain that. I also, like Peter, I don't know whether the state's position on that will change, in light of the infrastructure bill. I also confess that I have not studied the bill closely enough to understand, whether there's significant funding that could be directed towards waste disposal. But I haven't heard any indications from DEEP or from the administration or elsewhere that they are thinking about ways to use those resources to subsidize a new approach thus far.
Just speaking on the federal bill, I was almost wondering if it is worth us, because part of the thing that we cite is environmental efforts because of the infrastructure bill, where we're going to have more a more robust transportation system. And I think part of environmental sustainability should be part of that. So maybe there is a deeper dive that we should look into the bill and see if there is some way that there could be some language change before it gets enacted on that could allocate funding for new and contemporary ways of managing our municipal solid waste and our recycling. So that might be a good effort on our part, just to see if there's some advocacy happening on the state level that maybe we're not aware of. And if not, maybe we can endear our representatives to kind of add language to that point. Now that there's specifics for earmarks, and they have been such champions of this bipartisan effort, I'm sure we're not the only community or state that is challenged with this. And I think that long-term environmental impacts can be solved with this, especially when this money is supposed to be generational in its efforts. And perhaps we're not being forward enough in reaching out. So I guess I'm thinking that we need to kind of expand the efforts and the touch base with our Washington counterparts to make sure that they realize that this could be significant dollars into the best, and also as important as infrastructure is of highway systems, this is an important effort as well. So my comments. Chip?
Yeah, I just wonder whether the state hasn't wanted to deal with this across the state, so I don't know that they're suddenly going to be helpful here. But of the 50 towns that use this facility, when we were faced with voting for it, I think the price per ton was $68. We're now at $205. They said it was $125 to make the thing work. And as I've said before, I'm worried about a hazardous waste lawsuit that'll be $50 a ton by the time we're done. How about if we went up $20 a ton and paid the $125 and just did it ourselves and left the state out of it? And if Luke wants to move the plant, I'm fine. I think that's where the roads come together to make sense. But if the plant moves a quarter mile, that's not that big of a deal, I don't think, if you're going to rebuild the plant.
And needless to say, we would welcome other communities, stepping up and saying we'd consider hosting this site as well.
Yep. Mayor, I'd be happy to reach out and double check on the federal status, solid waste management. Part of the problem here is the long-term horizon of a solid waste management fix. You know, we haven't had governors weigh in on this issue for 15 years, sort of a kryptonite. And I think that's part of the frustration that Mayor Bronin is speaking to. No one has really embraced this as a statewide priority. So we can look at that.
I'm sorry, Lyle, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
And again, I was just going to say, when you look at local government kryptonite, there's two things that are a problem, cost and certainty. And you have three layers of uncertainty and cost. One is transfer, the second is transportation, and the third is disposal. And all three need to be managed. And so it's going to be, we can certainly reach out and see what's there. The problem is we're frankly on track in the next 5 years to be doing 1 million tons of out-of-state raw garbage disposal if we don't do something. That's sort of the, you know, the path of least resistance if we're not careful, is where 1 million tons of raw garbage are going to go somewhere. And the risk of transfer, transportation, and disposal is going to be there for, you really can't, no pun intended, you can't really bury that level of uncertainty. So, sorry, Mary, I just want to be clear about that. But there's a lead time. You know, these things take a good deal of time to you know, change course, no pun intended. But anyway, that's, sorry, Mary, go ahead.
No, and East Hartford did leave Mira, but the point of the matter is we have an obligation to find a path forward as one of the communities that is in the greater Hartford area that utilized Mira. Our reason for leaving was strictly financial, and it had to be. And in a community that does not get enough funding to support that type of efforts, and if we missed the opportunity to go to Murphy Road in South Windsor, our people would have been driving extensive miles to the transfer station. So this was about economics only and not about abating our responsibility or abdicating our responsibility to the greater concern that is out there in regards to municipal solid waste.
But, you know, I do think that the Chip raises an important point, which is, you know, any entity, it doesn't have to be Mira, it doesn't have to be Downs, it could be CROG, you know, could go out with an RFP to solicit, you know, to commit a certain amount of waste and to solicit bids for new technology. You know, there's no guarantee that it yields anything different from what was there before. But if we are willing to, I think we're likely going to be paying more one way or the other. And if we are willing to pay, you know, what it actually costs to dispose of this stuff, you know, we may well be able to either attract investment that that works, or at least have a clearer understanding of the gap that would need to be filled through subsidy. So, you know, that is something we could consider as doing as a CROG mm-hmm. board or as some members of CROG.
Right.
That's so.
Good effort. We just, you know.
Yeah. So those were many of the topics that the subgroup had talked about. And Mayor, as you know, Mike Looney from your DPW has been intimately involved with our conversations, and he's carried your thoughts and concerns and articulated those forward to us as a group. So we appreciate that short-term and long-term perspective. I guess the question that we, and it's probably an echelon or so above the members of this little task team, is how do we bring, as a region, do we bring the governor's office, the General Assembly leadership, and DEP into, if you will, the fold? You know, we clearly, in my mind, they clearly know it's a state. It's not only a regional; it's a statewide crisis. But what are the levers that need to be identified and pushed to be able to elevate it? You know, I think they're talking about at least a $60 million subsidy. I think that's what Mira made. You folks on the Mira board may know the number better than I, but I think it was around $60 million request to make that original deal, the most recent deal, work. You know, we're talking, you know, significant amount of state resources or federal resources. So how do we access those, I guess, is a question, or how do we help access those is a question for the future. Nir? short and near term. So is there a sense that do we want to have, would the executive committee like to see something on that September or October policy board? Is there a, just so I'd kind of know where a task team might work towards in terms of a time frame?
How about if we went with Luke's idea of an RFP for CROG? I think the governor and the DEP have been pretty clear about what they're going to do, which is zero. And they're going to watch the garbage pile up like in Haiti. Mm-hmm. But until that happens and people are screaming, like juvenile car thefts, they have no interest in being part of it.
We have someone run a financial kind of some numbers on a long term. I mean, financing right now would be significant, you know, a great opportunity to kind of, if we were to finance a portion, just run 60 million as to what that would be for all of our towns, and kind of get an idea of what we would need for an infusion and move forward. And maybe we create a new entity through legislation, just dissolve MIRA.
I just want to clarify, the 60 million was what MIRA, I think, was looking for a subsidy from.
I don't know. I'm not necessarily sure that those numbers are probably what numbers we want to use, though. Now that you're saying they're MIRA numbers, we probably need someone to run our own financial numbers, taking, you know, because when I met with Sacaruni or whatever the name of it was, their numbers were completely different. Was that realistic? I don't know. So maybe it is us kind of looking to see what the cost would be, and then trying to run some financing numbers as to what we would be looking for the state and what we would be looking for from individual towns to buy in as owners of it.
Well, Mayor, having been around this tree in another context in the Midwest, what Mayor Brolin suggests, I think, is what a million-person county would be doing. That's what they would do. But there's a lot of due diligence to get there in terms of, you know, the risk and what the financial deal would look like, the waste diversion deal would look like, transport disposal and ash disposal. And the point is, we need state help for permitting, and we need state help for permitting ash landfills too. So the state really can't wash their hands and say, okay, CROG, have a nice day. It doesn't really work that way in terms of permitting and ash disposal. We really need the state to be helping us in a lot of this regard. But I think that would be one of the options. Mayor Bronin's suggestion is, as I say, what big counties would be doing around the country, which is, we get a million people, we have this much waste, we do a consulting report, we look at the financials, we look at the current system capacity, and then we look at gaps. The problem, as you well know about this, is that a lot of the waste energy plants have been subsidized by electric rates, which have collapsed, but they're also benefiting from historically high recycling rates, which have collapsed. So it's kind of a Rubik's Cube. It needs a lot of due diligence. It's not a bad idea. I'm just saying, you really can't just throw a dart at the wall. You really have to do your homework on this. And I don't, I wouldn't recommend we do that unless we really, you know, get our ducks lined up. I think it's a perfectly reasonable suggestion. But we still need the state help on permitting. We still need the, you know, state to help us on ash landfill. Some of these things we simply can't do as a region. I mean, just simply put. The other caution is the lead time on this is really long. You know, as you well know, citing any kind of public works takes a long time. So that's the only caution about this. And we need something relatively soon. We don't want to be landfilling 500,000 to a million tons of raw garbage for 15 years while we figure it out. So I think the idea of considering, you know, how could CROG move forward on this as an update to CSWA, we have an entity, we have a vehicle. But I'm just saying there's some due diligence in there to proceed to do that responsibly, I think. But it's not a bad idea at all.
Kyle, does CROG have money to underwrite the funding, or would we need to collectively put in money?
I'd have to consult Pauline on what we have. What we'd probably be looking at, and the first thing is a sort of a municipal solid waste management consultant due diligence, you know, a first cut of what Mayor Brono was suggesting, not the fine print of it, but basically, if we as a region and or CSWA were to do this, you know, what are the parameters of this? And again, the state and Sassaroni and Mira took a long time to try and get to a contract that collapsed. So this, you know, takes some work, but we can come back to you about a first draft of this. We have consultants that have done this before. We did a solid waste management report when your predecessor was in there. This goes back a long way. So Mayor Curry encouraged us to do that, and some of you on this call remember we did an MSW report on projections and what it would cost, and all that stuff's been done once, but it's no longer accurate. We'd have to go back and redo that just in terms of change circumstances on electric rates, on recycling rates, on transfer rates. All that has changed, so that's the only point. But we can certainly come back to you both with what's in the federal bill on infrastructure and what this might cost as a first approximation. That's my suggestion. It would be the first whack at it. It can take a lot of time and effort to sort of answer a simple question.
I can definitely answer the question of, we definitely do have money for a study or a consultant to be able to do the first pass analysis. We have the regional fund that has quite a hefty balance and availability in it. So there is definitely that. I think that would make a good first step in terms of in-depth analysis of, you know, moving if the cost of doing something next to the sewage treatment plant, the issues with that. And the total cost, and I think we could definitely RFP for a consultant and get started on that.
And what we need the state to do too. We need to have that as part of the consideration. So,
but just to add one complicating factor, you know, the feasibility of doing it next to the MDC sewage treatment plant also depends on the closure of the airport, Brainerd.
Right.
Which actually is something probably not for this meeting, but at some point would probably be something that's worth CROG, us talking about in CROG.
Yep. And I've had some informal conversations with Senator Fonfara and Mayor Brown. I think part of this is the encouragement to do what's been done with the South Bushnell effort, which is to get a consultant to sort of do a parameter analysis of this, which was done in terms of the, you know, Bushnell and South Bushnell in terms of how it gets done. But yeah, you're right. They need to be woven together at some point.
Not to take us far afield, but just out of curiosity, Pauline, how much is in that regional fund?
Don't tell them, Pauline.
it's public information. It's published in our budget, unfortunately. Right now, there's over $1 million. And we've been adding to it for several years, and we've used it for small studies and things like that, but we haven't used it for any large projects. So we continue to add to it every year. So it's definitely enough for a consultant, not enough to build a new plant.
So Peter, I guess you can take that back to your committee and see what they feel they want to do with it. Do you have enough people on your committee?
I think at this point in time, we probably have enough to be able to help work with Pauline and folks to be able to scratch out an outline of a consulting, what a request would be. So I think we could work on that and perhaps maybe bring that back, you know, for consideration, you know, in the September meeting. If not September, then definitely October. But I'd like to be able to do that. So I know, Chip, you had a...
Yeah, I got one question. Mira says they're going to stop in June of 2022, but there's nothing that didn't come down from Moses on a tablet, did it? That's just a date they picked that Mira could continue to operate going forward for some period of time.
My understanding is that was Mira's decision, but I don't know about their permit status, Chip.
I think that's what it comes down to. I think it's about the permit status. Is that after they shut down, once they shut down the burn plant, they will be functioning indefinitely as a transfer station only, and that their permit does not allow them to operate a transfer station at that tonnage.
Right. So my point is going to be maybe Mira just needs to continue to operate for some period of time while we did an RFQ and decided if we could do something different.
So there also could be options to, bifurcate to other transfer stations in the meantime. I mean, there's other options that could probably be put out there.
I just suggest this is sufficiently complicated. You probably want a first approximation consulting report pretty quickly that gets into the basics, but not into the weeds totally, because it would be very large and very expensive. But in terms of what are the, what's the permit status? What does the transfer law say? You know, all this stuff, some of the basic parameters, and then come back with a more fleshed out report later, because this could be very, very complex. That's the suggestion. So you get first approximation of your options and then come back later on to flesh them out. And you saw with the Sassaruni discussions that went on for years, and that was with an existing plant and existing permit, et cetera. So that's my suggestion, is get a first approximation of that.
Yeah, and Peter, just make sure you include communities that, may have left, like East Hartford, in the long-term approach. That's necessary. So, yep.
Yeah, to get the...
I can add also, Mira has stated that in order to keep the plant running, they would need about $20 million a year in order to keep it up and running past 2022. So in answer to your question, Chip, yes,
yep.
But yes, but.
And just to chime in, the other thing that Mira has made clear is that going all the way to June 30th is almost sort of like their best case scenario. I think they have concerns about being able to retain the technical staff just to keep the turbines going, and that there may be a scenario where they have to even shut down earlier than June. I think obviously they want to avoid that if possible, but that has been floated as well.
Yep. And it has happened in the past too, with interrupted service. So it's not, not out of the realm of possibility. So, yep.
Mayor LeClaire, I'd like to make a motion regarding what we've been discussing, but I want to make sure I understand it, where Mayor Bronin stands, because I think I might've learned something today. Mayor, is it fair to summarize your position that you would be comfortable with a plant staying in that relatively same area? I know you'd like it closer to the sewer treatment plant, but it would have to be based on a new technology, not existing technology.
Yeah, I mean, I think that goes without saying. I think the existing technology, it just isn't working economically. And it's also not yielding sufficient diversion to really achieve environmental goals either. The other thing is that, our support for continuing to host a waste disposal facility would also depend on a broader community benefits arrangement. I mean, not long ago, this facility was producing $5 million a year for the city of Hartford, yet now, is paying $1.5 million a year in pilot payments that are really at the discretion of the board on an annual basis. And, we would need both a far more substantial and a far more reliable community benefits agreement as part of any longer term commitment.
Understood. And you also would not want anything to be another name for a transfer station.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
understood.
Right.
Okay, I just want to make sure I understood.
I put it another way: if we're willing to be part of a next generation solution that is both environmentally responsible and fiscally sustainable and yields benefits for the city, but we're not willing to just sort of kick the can, facilitate kicking the can down the road.
So, Mayor, what I'd like to move is that we put it on the agenda for the next policy board meeting. The issue of hiring and doing what Lyle sort of referred to as a high level study by an economist or the appropriate person to look at what would be needed to even move forward with that idea, but along the parameters that Mayor Bronin has laid out, that it be based on new technology, that it not be a transfer station, that the economic benefits to the city of Hartford, the site, be seriously looked at. It's sort of a preliminary, high level view to do that. And we as a group vote on that at the policy board meeting, because we've got to start somewhere. And that seems like a good place to start. So that's my motion. I'll second it.
Any more conversation, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. That's
next item up for discussion is turning to John Coleman, who will give a little update on the transition and the consultant agreement memo that we've engaged with.
Mayor, I'd be happy to do that, but you jumped over number 7.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Here's Lyle asking for our ARPA funding. Lyle?
Yep. Thank you, Mayor. Very briefly, many of our fellow regions have asked their towns to do a set-aside of 1% or 2% of the town ARPA funding for regional priorities. This is a memo to authorize, if you supported this, for us to go and ask the towns if they have an interest in doing this. We fully appreciate that not all towns will volunteer to do this, but the state received $691 million for the quote-unquote county share that is provided directly to towns. And the idea here would be to scale up some of these issues at the town level and to address other regional priorities should the town so wish. So this is a request for authorization to simply ask our members if they have any interest in doing this. So it's a preliminary discussion. Towns can say no, they can not respond or whatever, but this is at least, let's get people on record in terms of their interest level. And I fully appreciate that some towns may have quote unquote spent the money already, so be it. But at least I think we wanna ask the towns and see what we get. So that's where we are on this.
So Lyle, connected to that, Lyle, we got a memo or an email today from, who was it? You know, laying out the reporting requirements.
Yep.
And it was heck of a lot more extensive than I was. Than I was expecting. So, you know, we had talked about using some of our money to get some consulting, but you know how that goes. There's really no consultant out there that knows how to, you know, anything about ARPA because it just was passed. I think it would be more efficient for towns the size of Windsor Locks if there was a consultant at CROG.
Right.
We could know was the answer person.
Right.
We could go to and get assistance with this and certainly be willing to, it would be more cost effective for us to contribute
right
through CROG that way and know that expertise is there than to try and find someone locally to bounce these questions off of. So maybe if those two were tied together,
absolutely. First Selectman, you put your finger on something. Massachusetts is specifically going down the road of having ARPA coordinators for smaller communities to do the administration. As you probably know, federal programs can be very daunting in terms of reporting requirements, and this one is no exception. So in addition to regional priorities, one of the things we could do is either directly do this or put an RFP for administration of reporting and management of the funding. For towns to do this, but that would be part of the discussion that CROG member towns would have in terms of what you want to do with the money. So that would be, as I say, part of this. And I think, as I say, Massachusetts is going gangbusters on the point of not expecting every town to try and do the administration of this at all. And they have a statewide program that they're encouraging, I believe, with some statewide money to help administration of ARPA funds at the local level. So yes, that would make a lot of sense rather than try to do this 38 times. I think people will find this quite daunting and very complex. And again, we've got preliminary indication that even something as simple as broadband, that the rules and regulations coming out of Treasury are pretty scary in terms of complexity. It's not just put the wire in and hope for the best. Very daunting just in terms of broadband. So that would certainly, First Selectman, that would be one of the options to consider going forward. And I think we'd encourage that rather than, again, doing this 38 times over would be a lot harder than people think.
More than 1 or 2%, would CROG be able to administer the $691 million to get something really done for the region? Or I know it's in two tranches, so maybe $300 million.
Well, just to be clear, that's the statewide number, right?
Yeah,
correct. That's statewide. Right. Our share would be, we would
175, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. Well, in any case, for $175 or $80 million, could we actually do something that would really affect people's lives, perhaps as an option for towns to go in? That, you know, $1 million here, $1 million there, we spend it all, but nobody knows that it got spent except the federal deficit?
I think that's for the members to decide. I think this is about as far as I was willing to go at 2%. Yeah. Obviously, if I were a county manager, I would have a $175 million proposal on the table for a county board. But I don't sense that kind of willingness, Chip, frankly.
I just wonder if it would be a ad alternate and say, or we could try and do something for CROG that would, you know, whether it be bike trails or pedestrian access or any of the broadband, any of the things we've worked on, to say we could roll out a CROG initiative for all the towns to cooperate in with one administrator.
Right.
And let people kind of consider other alternatives.
Well, my suggestion would be to get an initial sense of this and then have a broader conversation at the board level when we get this result. But yes, I mean, the point is that the federal money and the state money will not solve, quote unquote, the broadband problem. It won't. I mean, there's not enough money in the on the table right now to deal with Hartford's issues or our rural issues. So that would be a conversation to have. But my suggestion would be to get this out there. See, if we have no support at 1% or 2%, you know, I think there wouldn't be a support at 100%. So at least get it out there and get going. And again, as I say, I'm getting indications across the state. Many towns have already spent the money. So I think, yes, but there are regional things we could certainly do here. Broadband being a classic, that we could accelerate progress a lot faster, and the state and federal funding simply is not enough to deal with broadband deserts or rural accessibility. It's just not enough. So we need more money. And if the towns were willing to dedicate this to a purpose like that, that'd be all of the good. But my suggestion would be to get this out there, get an initial sense, and then see if there's willingness to go further.
Okay.
I'm sorry to go again. It seems like I'm getting warmed up here, and I apologize for that. But we haven't spent a nickel of ARPA money at this point.
Right.
And even 2%, we would not, under current circumstances, we won't be able to spend that because we don't know how to spend the money. I don't mean where to spend the money. We don't know the mechanism for approving an expenditure.
Right.
There's little guidance that has come down. So
right.
Does the Board of Finance make the call? Does a town meeting make the call? Does the CEO make the call? Board of Select, we just don't know. And our town attorney has been unwilling to
correct
render an opinion on that. So we're completely stuck right now as to how to spend a nickel correct. Of this money.
Yes. Well, I might add. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Let's jump in. We're in slightly the opposite situation where we have already adopted a plan for the full amount that's been allocated. You know, Chris, I'd be happy to talk with you about sort of how we went about that. I mean, I think the short answer is you're not going to get, I don't think you're going to get any guidance from anybody on mechanism you need to use in your town to approve it. It's going to be governed by your charter and state law. And so at the end of the day, your corporation council is not going to have a choice but to opine, because your corporation council is the only person who can opine on that question, I think.
Yes, we've had a very open and transparent process. We early on appointed a committee. The Board of Selectmen appointed the members to that committee. We've had public hearings on the issue. We have a recommendation that the committee is just about to release that identifies all the areas of how we would like to spend it. But we have no, beyond that, we don't know who makes the call. And so that's.
But what I'm saying is, I think you could just make the decision to allocate it in the same way as you allocate, you know, general fund revenues, or you could choose other options if they're available under your charter. But I don't think that there's anybody who could challenge your ability to do it in the same way that you, budget for general fund expenditures. It's worth thinking about that.
I agree with that. I agree with that. If we did it the same way of general fund expenditures, then we could. Come to an agreement. How the problem is that under that scenario, given our political makeup in town, it would somehow stay in the bank. So that's the problem we have. That's a local problem.
The other, but one last thing, which I was going to say, just coming back, despite the fact that we've allocated it, were there agreement among CROG members to dedicate some percentage of county funds to a common purpose, I would be more than willing to go back and to work with my council to try to amend our plan to contribute to that common fund. I think it's a good opportunity to do something meaningful on a regional basis. Mm-hmm. And so, we would be happy to do that or to try to do that if we felt like collectively there was the will to do something, significant.
Right. Thank you, Mayor, for that. Could I just, Mayor LeClaire, just to add to that, there's going to be four or five new sources of EDA funding on the table as well. So there's a lot of potential resources that could be dealt with at the regional level. So thank you, Mayor Brunner, for your comment. I understand your point about Corporation Council opining on this, but I was speaking more to the reporting rules. I wasn't speaking to the allocation. I was speaking to, if you want to get broadband money, how you report on how you spend it is going to be very complex. So that was the point I was trying to make. Not very well, but that was the point I was trying to make.
No, I made two different points, Lyle, and I apologize. But the first point I was on line with you is that the reporting requirement is problematic as well for a town of our size.
Right.
So to the extent that we could get assistance from CROG with that, mm-hmm. Really enhance my ability to go back and say, let's make sure we get 2% to CROG of this money.
Yeah, and I was speaking to a different issue than Mayor Bronin's, which I think obviously makes perfect sense. It's the actual reporting, which, we do a lot of work on reporting to feds, as of course does Hartford and others, but it can be quite daunting, and that's the point I was trying to make.
I believe we should test the waters, and I would move that we authorize Lyle to send the letter out.
Second.
So any further discussion?
Mayor, this is Matt Hart, West Hartford.
Yeah, Matt.
Hi. Yeah, I appreciate the good discussion. So we've received West Hartford has received a similar request from the MDC a few months back. And actually, we're very intrigued by that, by the notion of utilizing some or much of the county share we're receiving. And I think it's roughly $12 million for West Hartford on some type of regional stormwater initiatives.
Yep.
I don't know to what extent we could try to partner with them on this type of initiative. I understand the fact that only a small number of CROG towns are members of the MDC.
Right.
But, I'd want to make sure that was coordinated to the extent possible.
Madam Chair, I would think that once we get on the table, the MDC response the towns make, as well as this, we could have a conversation to go further. That would be sort of my thought on that.
Just to put it out there, I appreciate your perspective on this. I think we would be somewhat less interested in doing this to support an MDC initiative than we would to support an initiative that doesn't already have a regional mechanism.
Understood. But those of us who are struggling with stormwater issues, there might be some great opportunities here.
So there was a motion on the table. It was offered and seconded. So I'm going to call for a vote now. All those in favor of sending out the ARPA funding request letter?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries. Thank you. Now, my good friend John will handle the discussion in regards to the Lyle's transition and where we are with engagement of the consulting search firm. John?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The CROG has retained a consultant to assist in the recruitment of Lyle's successor. We have, they sent out a questionnaire to, I think, everyone for input in terms of what talents and expertise and capabilities we would be looking for. They coalesced all of that. and have started the active recruitment process based on that. They hope, they intend to have their responses in by the end of this month and to begin to do their internal review and make a report to the subcommittee probably by mid-September with the intent that we would do reviews and do an interview process either end of September or early October, the first week of October, with an intent to making a selection thereabouts and offering an individual the position in the hopes that that individual would if possible, join us you know, by mid-November or early November, but certainly at the latest by the end of the year, calendar year. And in terms of that, Lyle has graciously offered to enter into an MOU with CROG to work for 10 hours a week at $100 an hour till the end of the year. And if we exceed the 180 hours, or if the agreement gets terminated early for whatever reason, he's also available on an hourly basis at the same rate. We would propose that CROG does enter into that MOU with CROG, and I would so move, obviously open to discussion.
Second. Discussion.
I think there was a second, Mayor. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there was. I'm just waiting to see if there's any discussion. Any discussion? Nothing? Okay, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries. Is there any other business to come before the policy board? If not, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
No move, Madam Chair.
Second.
Seconded by Chip. All in favor, I'm sure. So we'll move forward and go on with your day. Thank you. It's been wonderful seeing you all. And stay safe. Wear your mask.
Bye. Hello, everybody.
Yep. Bye-bye.
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 Thanks, everybody.